are in for a banquet. It's really good. It is really good. I'm just giving you a preview, but it's good. Let us pray for him. Lord, we bless Dan. We bless for this incredible tool that you've given him in his heart, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit through him, oh Lord, blesses this whole church as it has blessed him as he's been preparing this, oh Lord, and his home. We give thanks for his family, for his life, oh Lord, and you continue to use him powerfully in the Spirit, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Morning, everybody. Some guys here from the first service as well. Was it that good? No, I'm joking. I'm just visiting about. I'll just get ready up here. Can we pull up the scripture, please? The Philippians 4, verse 4. That's the one. Yeah, I mean, this, Sarah shared this on the seashore. No, Sarah shared this earlier this year, and it was really encouraging to me. I've been, like, pretty much, like, snacking on, feeding off this every day. Like, it's just been going through my mind. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all. It's such a powerful, scripture. And I really want us to get some of the fullness of what's going on here. Because I feel like it can really help our walk, our day-to-day walk with Jesus. If you could all stand up, please, firstly. And we're going to read it together. On three. One, two, three. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amazing. Cool. Sit down. You may be seated. Can I get a rejoice?
Rejoice.
Rejoice. Oh, man. Come on, man. Team. All together.
Rejoice.
There you go. Let's get an always over here.
Always.
Oh, that was strong. Very strong. Good. Okay. Again, it's been really encouraging for me, and I want it to be an encouragement for everybody. And we really need to take away from this scripture. Can we pull it up again? The main sort of premise of it is basically we just need to do it. We just need to be doers of the word, don't we? We won't be able to understand what the scripture is actually talking about. It's more about an experience. This peace, it transcends all understanding. You've got to experience this. And the only way is by...
Rejoice.
Yes.
Always.
There we go. Good. And all the rest of it as well. Giving thanks and all the rest of it. But we're going to unpack all that in a bit. So, why rejoice? Apart from... the peace that is promised in this scripture. Why do we need to rejoice? I'd like to take us to Genesis 15:1. This is like one of my favorite scriptures when God turns up to Abraham. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." God is our reward. And our exceedingly great reward. He's also our shield. And what's really encouraging again is how consistent our God is. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Again, look, when he turns up to Abraham, he says, after these things, do not be afraid, Abraham. It's almost the same as saying, be anxious for nothing. I am your shield, and the peace of God shall guard your hearts. Again, your exceedingly great reward shall guard your hearts. This God that we serve is going to guard us in our anxious times. It was Chinese New Year a couple of weeks ago, And interestingly enough, did you know that the Chinese people, they only worshipped one God before Buddhism arrived in China, before Taoism, Taoism, and all the other isms that turned up over there. And this God, they said was pretty, or they believed, was heaven personified, pretty much. It was heaven, but it was also, heaven was a person to them. And again, we can see that their exceedingly great reward, their God, was the God of heaven. I'm going to do a little demonstration here, if I can get Mauricio to. What's interesting about this language is that, as you write it, does anyone speak Chinese here? I'm looking at Sherry, but I don't think, do you speak Chinese? No, no, okay, just checking. So nobody, so if I get this wrong, no one's going to say anything. So I could write anything now, no, checking. But yeah, the way you write the characters also tells a little bit of the story of what the thing is that you're trying to describe, if that makes any sense. So it goes like so. Everything that is big, he is on top of. He is the Lord of. So that's big at the bottom there and one at the top. That is the Chinese symbol for God, the King of Heaven. And that is who they used to worship before Buddhism, before Taoism, and all the rest of it. It really is an interesting, like, can be, yeah, thank you, that's fine, yeah. If we pull up the symbol or character, for example, for righteousness, this is not going to be about China, by the way, the whole thing, like, but just giving examples. It's really, really powerful. I mean, well, just a little test. Does anyone know what that means? Yeah, I did that. I did the same mistake. It means righteousness. I just told you, whatever. But yeah, split into two. So on top, we have this symbol here, which means lamb. And then the bottom one here means me. So we have the lamb over me equaling the righteousness. It's powerful. It speaks so much. But yeah, so much of their language pretty much has the gospel, or even the book of Genesis, for example, is really embedded into the whole language. That whole story of Noah's Ark and things like this, it's all there, even creation from the beginning. The symbol for, let's say, man, for example, is, I'm not going to paint it, but dust, able to move, and breath. That makes the symbol for man. Obviously, that's creation, isn't it? That's God making Adam from dust and breathing his life into him. It's powerful. It's really, really powerful stuff. What am I saying this? I just want to go back to that scripture where Abraham meets God. And it's like he's saying, I am your only, I'm your main source. You don't need anything other than me, Abraham. I'm all you'll ever want or need. And I think that the point I'm trying to make is we get into this habit in the West of trying to make it to heaven. We're trying to get in to heaven. Like, we're trying to get there and then we can sit down and watch Netflix and eat Haagen-Dazs all day and or do whatever, you know, pleases you for however long you want. But that's not heaven. That's not the idea that we have here. God is trying to tell us that he is our reward. He is our exceedingly great reward, which is why we can.
Always.
Good. Good. So God is our destination and our reward at the same time. And even in John 10:10, Jesus said, I came that they might have life, and that life more abundantly. And what's this life he's talking about? John 17:3. Now, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Again, God is our great reward. Brilliant. Okay, so we had a free flow worship service not too long ago in the evening, which was amazing. It was incredible. Such a rich time of worship and praise and just encouraging each other, being encouraged by God. It was like fantastic. If you've missed it, there's going to be another one. I don't know when. When, Nick? When? What's that? Don't pin us down. Okay. Soon you'll see. But yeah, it was incredible. And I really encourage you to come along to that, because you will be blessed and you will, experience worship unlike any Sunday. It just felt like church. Yeah. Anyway, but during that time, it was really, really encouraging to me to be, to listen to the words of Auntie Jackie when she said on Psalm 121, verse 1 to 2, where it says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." And it's this creator, this heaven, this guy, this heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth, this sun that's shining in my face right now, he made that. It's a powerful reminder. Even that sun, it's hot. It's a picture of his holiness. It's there forever. The closer you get to it, the more you're in trouble, in fact, unless you approach in the correct way. You're going to get burnt. And it's this Lord that is at hand. If we go back to Philippians again, he's there to help. The passage, there it is. "Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. The creator of heaven and earth is at hand. He's available for our help." Let's talk about this gentleness thing. Let your gentleness be known to all men. It's really powerful, that, because I think it's one of the most significant ways in our walk, most obvious ways that we can be a powerful witness to everybody around us. Gentleness, which can sometimes be understood as meekness. And contrary to common belief, meekness or gentleness is not weakness. The world says it is weak, but we know otherwise. In fact, you could say it's a perfect display of skill and strength. In a spiritual sense, it's a perfect display of skill and strength when somebody puts their whole trust in God and comes under that authority of God. When you realize that, you are strong. I mean, if you look at Moses in Numbers 12, verse 3, it says, Now the man Moses was the meekest on all the earth. Moses wasn't necessarily a weak man. By any means, he was a trained killer. He grew up in the king's palace. He was a man of strength. Unfortunately, he was trying to deliver Israel by his own strength. And that's when God picked him up. "Come with me. Let's go to the back of the desert. There you go. Stay there. Look after cattle. I'm going to teach you about meekness. When you're ready, then we'll free the people." Moses really had to learn about the authority of God during that time. And once he did, that's when the freedom came to Israel. Because he was under authority, he had authority to free the people. Meekness also has to do with brokenness. I've been watching a couple of documentaries on Japanese Christians. And they have some really, really profound kind of practices in their culture. One of them being this term, kintsugi. Does anyone know it? No? You do. Yeah, it's beautiful, isn't it? Can we get a picture of the bowl, please? So basically, if anything breaks in a Japanese household, like the ceramic or something like that, everybody stops, nobody moves, they collect all the pieces together, and then they join it back with like a gold joinery. And it's really a picture of our lives and what God can do. Make us much stronger than we could ever have been, and much more beautiful and useful to him if we surrender our lives to him and allow ourselves to be broken. Again, that's another thing that in our common society today, allowing yourself to be broken is counterintuitive. It's all about being strong these days. It's all about kill or be killed. But God wants us to be broken before him so he can use us. Let's go to Matthew 21, 42 to 44. Okay, you're still here. All right. Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the scriptures? The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you," he's talking to the religious leaders at the time, "and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." Obviously, meekness, gentleness, which has to do with brokenness as well, is a fruit of the kingdom. "And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder." Again, inasmuch as Jesus is talking about brokenness to meekness and all the rest of it, he's also talking about the authority of God. And so we see that authority and meekness go hand in hand. Once you're under authority, you have that authority. Or again, what about, we can look at the centurion where someone was sick in his household and he meets Jesus and he says, "Please come and heal the person." Was it someone in his household? Servant, that's it. And then Jesus says, "Yeah, sure, the centurion's like, no, wait. I'm not worthy for you to come under my house. I'm not under the roof of my house. I'm not worthy. But if you say the word, they will be healed. I know how this works. I'm under authority, but I have guys under my authority. I tell this soldier to go and do this soldier to go and do that, and it gets done. It's the same with you, Lord. All you have to do is say the word." That's meekness. Immediately, that soldier came under the authority of Jesus. And Jesus got very excited. He said, never before have I seen such faith in Israel. We need this meekness, this brokenness. We need this gentleness in our lives. Again, God taught me profoundly about meekness once. Some of you may have heard this story before. This is very interesting. So I used to live on a council block with my wife. And Mina was born as well. And when we first moved there, there were kids that used to hang outside, doing what they do. Well, they weren't kids, they were young adults. But, you know, I'm getting old now, so we call them kids. Drinking, smoking, whatever. You know, it's territorial. And so when you see a new face, sometimes you might look at people. And so I assumed that was going to happen. So I'm walking past, there's a group. I'm like, yeah, here it comes. So they're all looking like, "Oh, who's that?" Okay, so I have a look myself and then I'll go on my way. But then it keeps happening. I'm going to work. I'm coming back from work. Months pass and it gets a bit more aggressive, a bit more edgy. I'm walking back. "Oh, there's that guy. What's he doing?" So I'm like walking like this, making sure I don't trip up and look stupid, trying to maybe stick out the chest a little bit. Keeps happening. Man. Summertime comes now. We're all chilling on the grass. I'm coming home. Happens again. This time they're talking. They stop, talk to each other, and then look over at me again. And I was like, "I've had enough. Like, literally, this is it." So I turn around, open up my arms. I'm like, "What?" they all kind of look a bit sheepish, turn away. And I carry on going upstairs. I felt momentarily like, yeah, you may have won that one. But then I had to go upstairs and then, like, no one was in and I'm pacing around upstairs. I'm like, oh, I think this might be it. This is the time. Like, yeah, I'm going to have to scrap. Okay, let me go down myself. I ain't got a gum shield, doesn't matter. I'm going to call a couple people. I'm going to call this guy, I'll call that guy. Yeah, yeah. No, maybe not that guy because he's a bit soft. But then I'll call this guy. And then all the while, Daniel, you're not that guy. You are not gangster. God is telling you, you're not gangster, Daniel. That's not you. Bless those that curse you. So, all right, okay. Went to Sainsbury's, bought a bottle of Coke, 1.5 liters. I bought cups, about 50. I bought some ice because it was hot. Put it all in the bag. On the way there, I'm like, yeah, this better work, Lord. This really better work. Otherwise, I'm in really big trouble now. So I'm walking up to them. They're on the grass chilling. Obviously, I come closer. I'm like, guys, this is for you. It's hot. Just, you know, you guys chill out. There's no alcohol, but yeah, just Coke and some ice. There's even cups. So you don't have to share the bottle. They look at me, kind of like bewildered, like what just happened. And then, oh, bro, come on. Yeah, look, do you want to sit down with us? Hey, come on, chill. It's hot. Blah, 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 blah. Like, I'm like, no, it's fine, guys. I'm just going to go upstairs. To this day, whenever I see any one of them, you're right, bro. Yeah. I could be like way down the street. Yeah, bro. Oi, yo. Yeah, you're right. Cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Don't worry. Any beef, like, yeah, we got you. But what is it? I had to learn how to come under God's wisdom, how to come under God's authority. And look what happened. Peace came. Two warring sides. Because I have my peace with God, I'm able to have peace with my fellow man. That's the message of the cross, isn't it? Just because we weren't fighting, me and the guys, or whatever, the kids, doesn't mean there was peace. There had to be a reconciliation that had to take place in order for the peace to come. Meekness, powerful. Very, very powerful. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. Someone, Patricia was there. Yeah, there you go. All right. With thanksgiving. Good. We're really focusing on prayer at the moment in this church. And it's helped me. It's helped me up my prayer life, my game, because we should be praying all the time. Everything. Pray about everything with thanksgiving. Nothing we pray should be without thanksgiving. I'll say it again. Nothing we pray should be without thanksgiving. In fact, nothing we do ever should be without thanksgiving, right? Teenagers, you're growing up now. The world is opening up to you a little bit. If I was in your place when I was your age, I would be very grateful for what I'm about to share with you now. If you can go somewhere and give thanks to Jesus for it, open, like, honestly, then it's okay. If you can't give thanks to Jesus for that thing you're about to do or say or whatever, you shouldn't be doing it. Yeah? Let that be a peace that guards your heart. Yeah? I'm not just talking to you, Kelechi. There's others in there. Sorry, mate. Yeah, even in our most desperate times, we shouldn't be thankless. I've been doing my Bible in a year, and I clicked the 90-day option because I was optimistic that, like, yeah, 90 days is a piece of cake. But obviously, it's not a piece of cake, is it? This, like, a steak with some fries and, like... Yeah, I'm behind. But I came across a scripture in my readings. I'm reading it every day, which is good. Praise God. But yeah, Exodus 23:15 alerts something really special that God doesn't like when we come. In fact, it's a requirement to not to come to him empty-handed. Therefore, he requires thanksgiving of us. He required thanksgiving of us then, and he requires thanksgiving of us now. Exodus 23:15. Bottom line. No one is to appear before me empty-handed. Everything seasoned with thanksgiving in our lives. Whatever we do, say, or pray. And in this word, thanksgiving or thankfulness, we get this word charis, which means grace. And there's a very special relationship between giving thanks and the grace of God. It's where our Anglican brothers get the word Eucharist from, the thanksgiving service. And what happened when the first Eucharist happened? Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks. Then he took the wine and gave thanks again. Thanksgiving is so important in everything that we do. Even in our Latin languages, the word for grace is hidden in the word thanks. So we did this before. Risa is going to get up. And I'm going to take his phone. And I'm going to say gracias, because he's Spanish speaking. Gracias. De nada, yeah. De nada phone. It's nice, bro. You want more grace on your life? Thank him. If things are tough right now, thank him. We've got to learn to stop grumbling about things and complaining and give thanks. Turn to your neighbor. Turn to your neighbor. Tell him, stop grumbling. Stop complaining. And give thanks. The grace of God is there for us if we give thanks. That's all we got to do. Give thanks. Give thanks. You'll see things will change. Look how powerful thanksgiving is. John 6, 10 to 11 even. And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. All he did was give thanks. That was it. No hocus pocus, no this, no that, no lengthy prayer. He gave thanks. Let's go to John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him. That if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And what is his will? 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Let's do it again. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus in you. Sorry, for God of God in Christ Jesus for you. Man. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So just to end, I'm going to end with three scriptures talking about this peace. Isaiah 48:18. Oh, that you heeded my commandments, then your peace would have been like a river, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. So what's the key to peace? Listening to the voice of God. Listening to him. I didn't listen to him, I wouldn't have peace with those guys, those kids that were, you know, going to fight me or do whatever they wanted to do. But as a result, there's peace there now. This thing, it really works. Listening to God, coming under that authority of God in meekness. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. If we're truly following Christ today, we've got to do this. We don't, it's not a choice, it's not a maybe, it's not a I might give thanks, I might rejoice. This is the voice of God all the time telling us, relax, do not be anxious for anything. Your great reward is your shield. And what does following Jesus give you? Again, peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. This isn't yoga, this isn't Netflix and chill or whatever it is. This isn't, I don't know, burning candles and saying something over and over again. This is God giving us peace. This is God giving us peace, the creator of heaven and earth, offering us peace if we just follow him. To end, I just want to stand up. Can you stand up, please? Let's go back to the scripture at the top. That's the one, Philippians 4:6. So, again, I said this in the first service, how when I was watching that Japanese Christian program, how they saw a very sort of stark similarity between the Bushido code, which is their warrior code, and the teachings of Christ and the Christianity, the doctrines of, you know, the faith. And I had to, you know, they're right. Look, we're warriors. We are fighting the good fight. These giving thankfulness, meekness, these are weapons. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. We know this. It's a spiritual attack, but this is our code right here. This is our code. So on that note, can we read it again? On three. 1, 2, 3. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thank you.
Amen, church. Just remain standing. We're going to do a prayer of thanksgiving to God to end the service today. Let us give thanks, church. Let us give thanks. Let's not grumble. Let us give thanks. We thank you for the cross, Lord. And we thank you for sending your Holy Spirit. Your love is better than life. And just like Dan talked today, let us use these weapons that you've given us to experience that love, Lord. Give us use thanksgiving. Let us live a life of thanksgiving, no matter the circumstance. Lord, I pray that as a church, we are a thanksgiving church. We are a gracious church. We are a church that seeks you and seeks to learn your peace in our lives, O Lord. Lord, I pray that we have become meek, Lord, so that you may be exalted in our lives, O Lord, and that we come under your authority, so we have the authority in Jesus' name, O Lord, to bring the gospel to others, so that you can bring salvation, O Lord, to this nation. I pray this in Jesus' name, O Lord. Bless all the church today. May everybody go home in safety, O Lord. And we praise and glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Have a lovely week.